Hello, my name is Nate Sanchez, and I'm the producer and host of Supplying Success, a podcast that spotlights the state of supplier diversity in today's business world. In this series, you'll hear from guests that are recognized experts in supplier diversity, and I want to remind everyone that the diverse supplier marketplace consists of certified minority-owned businesses, known as MBEs, the Minority Supplier Development Councils that certify MBE companies, and notably the major corporations that contract with these MBEs to purchase goods and services. I want to introduce my guest, Don McNeely, who has done awesome work. He's a supplier diversity expert. He's been the publisher of the chairman and CEO of MBN USA for over 34 years. Lots of great work in your lifetime and in your career in supplier diversity. So thank you for doing this, and how are you doing today, Don?
Oh, I'm doing fine, Nate. And first of all, let me just say, I don't consider myself a supply diversity expert.
I think a lot of people would.
But I've been in this space for almost 50 years, so I've learned a few things.
Of course.
So I'm happy to be on the program with you this morning, and trust you're doing well as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess to get started, talk about your background that you've done. You know, you were, again, chairman and CEO of the MBN USA for 34 years. And, you know, those of you that don't know what that is, MBN USA stands for Minority Business News, where it covers everything going on, you know, with minority businesses around the country. And you've also been the chairman and CEO of Women's Enterprise Magazine for over 30 years. So just talk about your work that you've done in that area.
Well, we you know, certainly have helped move the needle, is what we like to say, in terms of diversity and inclusion, supply diversity, even workforce diversity, because the work that we do in terms of promoting the multicultural and diverse markets helps to create a better awareness and a better understanding about diversity and inclusion, and especially supply chain and inclusion, you know, the value that that brings to the marketplace and to our respective communities, both locally, regionally, in the state, and across the United States. So that's part of what we do, is really promote those areas, both on the minority business side, with MBN USA Minority Business News, but also on the women's business side with our We USA magazine, Women's Enterprise magazine. So that's kind of what we do.
So, you know, I think a really important part of the whole thing is, you know, giving a voice and an opportunity to people that otherwise wouldn't get one. So why do you think it's important to highlight the role of minority businesses in America?
Well, I think it's important to highlight minority businesses because, number one, it helps to promote their businesses, and that's what it's all about, is how can we help them grow and be successful. But also, it helps in terms of the overall ecosystem. In terms of, you know, the minority and women businesses being involved in the economic development of our communities. And in addition to that, just the exposure for minority businesses that are leaders in the community. So it helps their role models. Mm-hmm. Okay, and so, and as a result, then the younger generation that's coming along, everybody looks for role models. Mm-hmm. You know, generally as you growing up and coming along, you watch Superman on television or Spider-Man, and yeah, you say, well, I want to be like that.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So the minority community needs those kind of role models in business, successful role models that that demonstrate what business is all about, because for so many years the minority community was not really a part of that focus, and so you just didn't have anybody that you could really look up to other than somebody that's maybe playing basketball. Mm-hmm. Or something like that, and so now you have successful role models in business that are leaders, you know, presidents of the United States, mm-hmm. you know, those types of things. So, you know, it's a changing world. It's a refreshing change the world needs and that America needs. And we're seeing great progress as a result of that now. So Minority Business News has played a very integral part in that.
So, you know, talking about that role that Minority Business News has played, of all the impacts that it's had, what's been your favorite part of observing the impact of Minority Business News USA?
Well, you know, seeing the success stories that we cover and helping promote the relationships that have developed as a result of our work. You know, it's very gratifying to see that. You know, I worked with major corporations and senior executives and executives in the C-suite that, you know, have said things like, you know, if I hadn't gotten involved with minority business development and supplier diversity, I would have not met some of the finest people that I've ever met in my life. Because typically, so many times when you have chief executive officers or C-suite executives, you know, they're just in a different world. They never come across, you know, minority businesses and understand that, you know, everybody puts their pants on one leg at a time. You see?
Yeah.
And, but, you know, you get a chance to know people, and then all of a sudden, you know, you had an initial opinion of a person or an individual, but when you get a chance to know them and work with them, then you discover, you know, this guy or this person, this lady, has turned out to be one of my best friends, mm-hmm. you know, just because you get a chance to now engage. And so that's what's been very gratifying for Minority Business News, to be able to bring those kinds of relationships together.
So you kind of touched on it just there, but because I heard an analogy recently. I was at the Irving Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, mm-hmm. and I was at one of their, you know, monthly meetings, weekly meetings, and I was listening to a presentation they gave, and they were talking about, you know, there's a big difference with, you know, diversity, equity, inclusion, and, you know, and the same thing applies to minority businesses, where, you know, it's one thing to get included in you're involved, you're a minority business, and you get invited to the party. It's one thing to be invited, but then it's another thing to be, you know, involved on the party planning committee and, you know, getting asked to dance at the party. So I guess in light of that analogy, because I thought of that analogy whenever you were giving your answer just there, what's the biggest change you think needs to happen with minority businesses to where, you know, they get asked to dance at the proverbial party? Because they're definitely getting included a little bit more. They're getting invited to the party. But what steps need to be taken to further minority businesses' involvement in the business world?
Well, you know, the standard adage is people like to do business with people that they know and people that they like. Okay, so as you say, you can come to the party, but if nobody wants to dance with you, then you just become a wallflower. So the question becomes, how do I get people that want to dance with me? Okay, what do I need do to make me attractive as a dance partner? Mm-hmm. You see, and it's all about relationship. I heard an executive with one of the Fortune 100 corporations one time. We were at a seminar session, and he made the statement as he was giving his presentation, and this was to a big buying group. It was probably 100 buyers that were in this session with this senior executive, C-suite executive, and he says, "Folks, what needs to be understood is, you can have the best pricing in the market, okay? You can have the best product in the market, okay? But if I don't like you, I'm not going to buy from you. Mm-hmm. It's just that simple."
Yeah.
Okay. And that's the way it is. You know, you have to look at ways particularly minority businesses and women businesses, you have to look at ways, how do you create those relationships? Mm-hmm. You know, how do you look at, how do you find a way to be able to articulate the value proposition?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because it's still, you know, that old adage, what's in it for me?
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
And so how do you bring those elements together to where it's a win-win for everybody that's involved? And so that's kind of what has to happen. Doors are opening. You know, mm-hmm. we see more and more minorities now in major positions, major leadership roles. These types of things. And so when you have those opportunities that are now where the doors are open, then go inside and articulate the value that you want to bring to that engagement or to that space. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know, you're talking about like opening those doors. And I think a really underrated part of, you know, opening said doors is involving, you know, other MBEs, like MBEs helping MBEs. What do you think is the importance of that? Because, you know, that's obviously something that, you know, in my internship with the Logisticorp Group and ISP, those are two MBEs where, you know, I've been going back and forth between these two MBEs and, you know, I'm getting to see firsthand how much that matters and how much that helps. So, how do you feel about, you know, MBEs helping MBEs and how important is that?
It's very important because MBE dollars are green, just mm-hmm. like anybody else's dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so and if there is a way that MBEs can team up and work together, do projects together, and support one another, because generally, as a rule, you know, there's always goods and services that generally everybody needs the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
So it doesn't matter if you are mainstream or if you're minority, what would have you. You know, everybody needs bread. Everybody needs water.
Yeah.
You know, everybody needs the same thing. And there's many instances where you can team up with another minority business to maybe get a contract mm-hmm. that you wouldn't have got, you know, alone.
Yeah.
Okay, because you bring all of that talent together, you bring the resources together, it just makes good sense to be able to work together and support one another.
So, you know, what does that mean when you see, you know, MBEs supporting other MBEs, and what kind of message do you think that sends to the broader community, both, you know, just the regular community and in the business community? What sort of message does that send?
Well, you know, the messaging or some of the thinking in the past relative to, you know, separative, you know, initiatives, you know, the broader community and in the older days would say, well, you know, they're not working together, okay, so why should we work with them? You see what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying? So, and yeah. And so that was the attitude in many instances is, you know, once they, you know, decide that they can team up and bring something to the table, you know, then we can take a look at it. But I think that's really important, is that the market and the MBEs and WBEs are aware of that, you know, that scenario. So
yeah, so you're just kind of mentioning that a little bit. If you had to think through all the different challenges that come with it, what would you say is the biggest challenge of being a minority business entrepreneur or a female business owner?
Well, you know, there again, it's the access to capital, it's the access to contracts and opportunities, but it's also the just being able to navigate and maneuver in the space. I mean, it's a challenge, but there again, you know, the doors have opened because there are now organizations that help to open these gateways. You know, that help with the introductions. You know, that that create environments where you can get access to opportunity, these types of things. So, you know, and I think, as I mentioned, you know, access to capital, that's an ongoing problem. I mean, it's an age-old problem, you know. And you know, and so many times, you know, when, you know, well, you've heard it said many, many times, you know, I've reached out to 15 banks, you know, before I finally got one to say yes.
Yeah.
You know, or I did 25, you know, opportunities for request and filling out the different forms, and never got anywhere. Mm-hmm. And then finally on the 30th one, I got a deal. So it's just pretty standard. I mean, you know, nothing has really changed in that sense, but it has gotten better because there again, the opportunities of the door, the gateway has begun to open up. So,
yeah. And so, you know, I guess you're talking about, you know, those opportunities are starting to come, and, you know, there's definitely been progress seen, but it's not been enough progress. And that makes me think of, you know, you and I both attended the DFW Minority Supplier Development Council quarterly luncheon, and they were talking about their 1% plus plan, about you know, everybody increasing their spending on minority businesses and women-owned businesses to create to finally reach that equity. And I think the timeline was, I think they could reach it in 15 years. Yeah. Versus, I think at the current rate of improvement, I think they said it was going to take like 300 years. So we don't have time for 300 years.
No,
we do not have time for that. So yeah. I guess in light of, you know, I guess partly the 1% plus plan, but, you know, just overall progress, what's the biggest improvement you've seen in, you know, how minority businesses are able to, you know, grow and opportunities that they're starting to get in recent years?
Well, I think, as I mentioned earlier, the gateway has opened, and it's opened much wider than it had been in the past. You know, there used to be an adage, well, you say, if I can just get a foot in the door, you know, that way, then I can try to, you know, get inside and maneuver. But now it's a lot easier, you know, to get your foot in the door. More and more, you know, companies, corporations, and businesses are looking to do business now with minority-owned businesses, women-owned businesses, and you know, and there are so many different ways that they've demonstrated this, you know, through, you know, the One Plus initiative, and through, you know, the different partnership opportunities. These types of things. So we're definitely in changing times. Okay, and so there is definitely more opportunity than ever in the past, across the board, you know. And so I think that you know, we see it every day. You know, when we watch television, when we watch the news, and all these different kind of things, we see all of the players that are now at the table. Okay, so then that means that that it is getting better. You know, contrary to some folks would say, well, we made some improvements, but it's still not getting any better. Well, you know, contrary, you know, because it is definitely getting better compared to what it was. Okay, so if it's getting better, how do we continue to move that forward? How do we continue to build on those relationships and expand the initiatives? You know, this is what we have to do. We just have to, be persistent, you know, and continue to move forward and focus on the value propositions, you know, because that's what everybody's looking for, the value propositions, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, before we wrap this up, I do want to ask, you know, a couple more couple more questions about your work you do with MBN USA.
Sure.
Walk me through the process of how you guys, find minority businesses to highlight, and what sort of, I guess, just what does that process look like for you guys when you're putting together your magazine, you're putting together your news stories about different minority businesses around the country? Because I mean it's a pretty massive scope and it's a pretty big project. And I know you have it broken up. I know there's also a Dallas-based Minority Business News. Mm-hmm. But I mean that's a pretty big scope, and like it's definitely a noble project that you head up, just from a standpoint of giving these people that spotlight. So what does that process look like for you guys?
Well, we of course, we cover the news.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so every day somebody's in the news. Okay, so we cover that piece. Okay, but in addition to that, we also create our own content internally, and what we look at as we create that content, is looking at companies like Logisticorp.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a leader in the space, in the respective industry that Logisticorp works. And then you look at the leader of the company. Okay, so I mean, for the company to be great and to do great work, it has to have obviously that that top-notch leadership. Okay, mm-hmm. And so when we look at a person like Gary Castro, who has been an outstanding leader for over three decades, not only in his business but also in the community. Okay, so these are the kind of things that we look for. There's a lot of successful businesses out there, but what are they doing beyond their business? Or are they giving back to the community? Are they doing any mentoring? Okay, are they involved in civic activities?
Mm-hmm.
All of these things, I think, help us look at leadership. Because leadership is always the key, leaders make it happen, and so that's kind of how we work at what we do, is we identify those leaders, like Margie at ISP,
mm-hmm.
and her leadership and what they do with their organization, and engagement. There again, if you look at those leaders, you find that most of the leaders do a lot of the same types of things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because leaders do what? They lead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they lead across the board, in many cases, not just business, but in terms of engagement, in terms of philanthropy, in terms of, support, those types of things. So those are things that we look at, as we craft in our content and focus.
Absolutely. Well, Don, this was awesome. I definitely learned a lot. I hope listeners learned a lot. I guess before we get out of here, do you have anything going on with MBN USA or We USA that you want to shout out or promote?
Well, we would just encourage the audience to dial up our website and see what we do and get a feel for what we do, and log on to our websites. We have our magazines, our digital magazines, on the website. They're free, so it doesn't cost you anything, and you can go back and see past editions, and I'll go ahead and give out those addresses. MBN is mbnusa.biz, B-I-Z. That's our website address, mbnusa.biz. And then to get our free digital magazine, that would be digital.mbnusa.biz. And then on the women's side, it would be weusa.biz, and also digital.weusa.biz. That way they can see exactly what we do and what's going on, what's coming up, and who are the movers and shakers. We've got a lot of great stuff planned for the second half of the year. I mean, we just now wrapping up the first half of 2022. What is the second half going to look like? And we've got some great things in store, some great things planned. The upcoming issue of MBN USA is going to feature on the cover the new chairman of the board of the United States Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. Okay, Nelson Ranieri, who is an outstanding leader in the Hispanic community, longtime friend of ours, but just a great leader, great role model, you know. And so we have a one-on-one session with him to talk about, you know, where he'd like to take the U.S. Hispanic Chamber of Commerce in 2022, 2023, and over the coming years. So I would encourage the audience to be sure and get a copy of that magazine. You can get a hard copy or you can get the digital copy. The nice thing about the digital copy, you don't have to go anywhere to get it. Just press the button and it comes into your mailbox. So that's it. And so thank you so much, Nate, for having me on the program. Anytime that I can help or be a part of what you're doing, I'd love to do that. And certainly wish you much success with the work you're doing.
Thank you so much, Don. I do want to issue out some thanks. First of all, thank you to the Logisticorp Group. This podcast was made possible through a grant from the Logisticorp Group. Also, thank you to ISP Creative, one of the best studios I've ever been in and been a part of. They have a full, photo studio, video studio. We're currently in their awesome podcast studio. So thanks to ISP Creative and the Logisticorp Group for making this possible. And be sure to tune in to the rest of the series. But yeah, thank you for doing this, Don. This was awesome.
My pleasure.